You're listening to episode 60 of IDRA Class Notes.
It's one thing for frazzled teacher administering, well, I can't handle all of them. Let's do triage here. Let's save the ones we can save. I think from parents' point of view and from the point of view of accountability, saying, no, we have to have high expectations for all of them. And what is it we're going to do to make sure they succeed in math, stay in school, and complete high school?
Welcome to IDRA's Class Notes Podcast. I'm Christy Goodman. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve all students. We would love to hear your comments about this show. Please let us know what you think about it and any questions that you have. We'll have details at the end of the podcast on how to do that. If you like our show, please tell three others or leave a review for us on iTunes. You can do that even if you're not using iTunes to get your podcasts, but it does help others find us. For those of you who are not subscribing to this podcast to receive it automatically, we do have an email alert that'll let you know when a new episode is available. You can just go to our website and sign up. And that's all you'll get is those alerts. We won't use your address for anything else. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our free monthly Graduation for All electronic newsletter and our IDRA News electronic newsletter. Our topic for today is school accountability to poor families with Aurelio Montemayor. Hello.
Hi.
Aurelio is IDRA's lead trainer and director of our Parent Information and Resource Center for Texas. He brings extensive experience in working with school personnel, parents, and students. His career in education spans four decades and has included teaching at the high school, middle school, and elementary school levels. He received a bachelor's degree in English and philosophy and a master's degree in bilingual education. Aurelio is passionate about the power of parent and community engagement for leadership development and effective education, as you will know having listened to this podcast before. He is a key developer of our model for parent engagement and in helping schools, parents, and community groups rethink how they work together. So, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Christy.
We have this month a release, our annual release of dropout nutrition data for the state of Texas, and we're going to talk about that not just in the Texas context, but in terms of how schools are required to give information to parents about how they're doing. So talk a little bit about what those requirements are.
Well, you know, I direct a Parent Information Resource Center, and the priorities for my center, and I work with schools all over the state of Texas, but the priorities are the same all over the country, wherever there's a PIRC, a Parent Information Resource Center. And under Title I, there's a whole bunch of requirements that that federal money brings to schools. There are requirements around parent engagement. Mm-hmm. And a big issue with Title I is information that helps parents hold the school accountable. Mm-hmm. And accountability is a big word. We have three big measures in our work as a resource center. They want to know how we let parents know about their right to hold schools accountable and how they can make schools accountable. They need to know about the supplementary education services for the schools that are not achieving adequate yearly progress, the famous AYP. And if a school is not achieving that adequate yearly progress, what public school choice they have. And today I really want to focus on the issue of accountability because, you know, IDRA since 1986 has been publishing our attrition rates. Mm-hmm. Some people consider the word dropouts more clear in terms of what we're talking about. We would prefer to talk about school holding power and rather talk about the individual child who is not at school anymore, talk about from the point of view of the responsibility of the institution.
Right.
So, you know, as we look at accountability around these attrition rates and under school holding power, we see it, and it is very important for all parents to understand, first of all, to what degree is school doing things right to keep kids in school and learning and completing high school. I mean, high school completion rates are critical, but if the children aren't there, you know for sure they're not going to complete it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this accountability issue is important also because there's two kinds of information that you as a parent, and you're a mother of two school-aged children. Mm-hmm. You have two girls in school. You know, you need to know how the girls are doing.
Right.
You know, in math, in reading, in social studies, you need to know how they are relating to the other students, all that kind of stuff. But there's also information you need to know about the whole campus, and that's a little bit harder.
Exactly.
Because if your children are in school and other children are not, from a selfish point of view or from a very narrow point of view, you could care less, as long as your children are in school and doing well.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you look at the bigger picture, and Title I wants parents to see the bigger picture, mm-hmm. too, how are all these kids doing?
Absolutely. Well, it affects all of us. And I had a friend who asked me once, why do I care what mm-hmm. the dropout rate is at my kid's school or in their district if I know mine are going to graduate? And so we talked about if the graduation rate is low, that tells you something about how the school is doing overall in their teaching quality or in access to high, you know, good courses and all of that.
It tells you a lot about the environment and mood that your children are in.
Yes.
You know, the ethos.
Are there high expectations?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even if your children are doing well, they are affected, and your neighborhood is affected. Everybody's affected when things aren't going well on the campus.
Right.
And one of the huge indicators, and it's a relatively new indicator, you know, in 86 when IDRA did the first statewide study in Texas that was commissioned by the state of Texas, there was no legislation, there was no policy.
Nobody knew how many kids were dropping out of school.
Yeah. They knew that kids dropped out.
Right.
You know, and we found out that, in fact, there were, in large numbers, they were not completing school.
Yes.
We found out, for example, that Latino kids, by the ninth grade, over 50% of those that were going to leave school had already left.
That's right.
And so these were alarming pieces of information, but also it was a good rallying cry. Mm-hmm. We need to do something about this. So if we come back to my responsibility and my center's responsibility for with parents and accountability, one of the things that IDRA's annual attrition rate study does for the whole state of Texas, we tell parents in this county, this is how you're doing. This is how the schools are doing in terms of their holding power. Are they hanging on to the kids? Are they doing their best so that kids actually stay in school, learn, and graduate from high school?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And in fact, in Texas, and I think it's a pattern all over the country, it's the secondary schools that are more in trouble. And if you could flag one major area, it's mathematics.
It's math, exactly.
So we need parents to see and to be able to deduce, and not just deduce, but figure out what do we need to do to work with school and encourage that math itself not be pegged as too abstract. You know,
when you look, my kid's not good at math, so let's not push it.
And when you relate children's failure in a particular course, and this is a gatekeeping course, because you know algebra is a gatekeeping course for college. It's a domino effect. If kids are slowly but surely losing interest in school because there's a particular subject or subjects that are too difficult for them, and when from the inside you hear math department saying, well, it's too abstract for most kids, there's almost a self-fulfilling promise, expectation that they're not going to do well in math. And then when you look at the attrition rates, there's almost a direct correlation between the degree of success in algebra, very specific at the high school level, and the degree to which students are going to complete high school.
And you see that in expectations of kids overall, too, that a kid can be pegged as troublemaker or not up to par on academics, and so they're not going to make it, so let's focus on those who are, and just kind of let kids disappear.
And then you would ask the parents, okay, which are the kids that we're going to give up on?
Exactly.
Which are the ones we're going to let disappear?
Yes.
You know, because it's one thing for, let's say, a frazzled teacher or administrator saying, well, I can't handle all of them. Mm-hmm. We're just going to, you know, let's do triage here. Let's save the ones we can save. I think from parents' point of view and from the point of view of accountability, saying, no, we have to have high expectations for all of them. And what is it we're going to do to make sure they succeed in math, stay in school, and complete high school?
Right.
So that the accountability issue goes beyond the data on a test, the report card, the attrition rates. It's putting all this together to help parents see the picture of what the status quo is. What is my child's campus like? What is the school like? And from that, how can we as parents do something to increase the positive and decrease the negative? In this case, the positive is that the kids are going to like school and succeed in class, and the negative is to reduce those that are bored, lost,
disengaged,
all that.
So what does a parent do? You get the data about your school. What do you do with it?
You need to have a conversation, and we've done it on some campuses. You need to have a conversation of what does this mean?
Look at it deeper.
Yes, because when you get the attrition rates and they tell you, well, you know, last year 45 to 50% of all the Latino children in this high school, they're not here this year. They're gone. And sometimes schools will have different ways of explaining it. Here in Texas, we call them lever codes.
Yes, yeah.
But the fact is, they're not there anymore.
Right, right.
Or in some cases, they're trying to equate a GED as the Evans, equivalent to a high school diploma.
Right.
And it's not.
No.
It's not.
No,
it's something to be used with adults who are beyond high school age to help them complete something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, what you want the parents to do is to, as a group of parents, not just an individual parent, but as a group, have a conversation about what do these things mean?
In dialogue with people, yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
How does one thing relate to the other?
Mm-hmm.
How are these things causing, in some way, something else?
Mm-hmm.
There's no one cause. And one of the things we want to move away from is something that a school will sometimes do very quickly or too easily is there's something wrong with a kid and there's something wrong with the family.
Yes.
In other words,
yes.
Well,
it's because they're working.
You know,
it's cause
they flunk math because there's no books at home and the parents didn't go to school.
Yeah.
Or they're working. Or the parents don't care and
or
stuff
language,
like that.
Or
there's any number of things.
Yes.
They don't speak the right language.
Yes.
Or they're poor. What do you expect? These are poor families.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my project is focusing on campuses where 50% or over of the children are on free or reduced lunch. In other words, by the federal poverty guidelines, these children need to be given supplementary services because that's what the federal money is supposed to do, not supplant what the state is supposed to do for the children, but as an add-on beyond what the state is already doing. How can this federal money be used to help these kids do well in math, in reading, and do well in school? And so the whole idea of accountability is the federal government is saying, okay, public school, we are giving you these extra bucks, and they have been doing this for over 40 years
now,
since President Johnson signed the first Title I Act. But what schools have forgotten, because the money keeps coming every year, is that this is not part of the basic pot.
Yes.
You're supposed to first, as a state, fund full education for all children, and then, because these children have economic need, we will supplement, add on money, so either hire more teachers, have better curriculum, whatever it's going to take, so these children can have a level playing field. And so the accountability we're talking about is parents talking with each other about, as we get this report card, as we look at the school, and the school report card focuses on the required test.
Yes.
What we want to say and what we do is, it's not just that, as important as that information is, what is happening in terms of their preparation for college?
Right.
How are they doing in terms of other things? And so as parents have that conversation, and this is what's important about parent engagement, that in that conversation and as partners with the school, we as a community figure out what do we need to do and how should we be using these federal dollars to really help these kids.
And we have a tool to help the Quality Schools Action Framework to help parents, people in the school, identify where the key parts are that need focus.
Well, and in fact, as a framework is to help see the bigger picture. In other words, we say there are certain fundamental things that have to be present in the school system. It has to be governed with efficaciousness, governance efficacy. It has to be well managed. And there has to be adequate funding, fair funding, enough money so that these kids have what they need to have to have a good education. And so, and that's already a challenge when we have disparities because a lot of the funding is based on the property tax.
In Texas, it is. But it's not just the state level. It's intra-district as well to make sure that there's some equity there.
Within a district, you know that you have some targeted campuses or blamed campuses or stigmatized campuses.
Yes.
And the stigma, a lot of times, is related to the money, the funding.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, IDRA was founded on that issue.
Yes.
So fair funding is obviously important to us. And parents need to know, in other words, what is the expenditure per child on my campus?
That's right.
Okay. But beyond that, then, there are certain school system indicators that we need to look at. And the first one we have in our list is parent involvement and community engagement. And this is where we say meaningful parent engagement is engagement that gives parents actionable data, information that they can act upon, not just individually, but collectively as families.
That's a really important part of it, because I know even in my children's school, they think everything's fine because the test data is good. And I know that some of the teachers need more classroom management skills. And I know that they're not using technology in the classroom for learning in a way that they should be. It's an elementary school, so they're not looking at dropout rates yet. But But to go in as an individual, they don't. There's no mechanism. There's no, mm-hmm. like they say they have a parent advisory committee, but there's not one really. And when you're by yourself, you can't really, it's hard. But to get with other parents who have the same concerns makes all the difference.
Well, I think that's why I like the accountability issue, because traditionally where there has been parent activity, it's mm-hmm. been a traditional volunteerism and
yes.
fundraising.
Yes.
I mean, I'm on the National Board of PTA, and one of the big themes that PTA has and has had for a couple of years now, several years, mm-hmm. is to move away from its tradition of
yes.
fundraising. The difficult thing is it's like shifting the path of the Titanic. In other
yes.
words, you've got, you know, a 50, 60-year history of
yeah.
fundraising being central, and to shift it. But from the point of view of valuing the parent, if I as a teacher look at what you're worth as the mother of the children
right.
I'm teaching, your number one value to me is that you're the expert on those children.
Yes.
I didn't say unbiased, but you are the expert.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I was a counselor, how long would it take me or a psychologist to know your girls the way you know them?
Right.
Now, you might not know them in the technical way that I would as
mm-hmm.
a counselor,
mm-hmm.
but you know them.
Yes.
And that's your primary resource,
yeah.
coupled with the fact that if anybody's going to be an advocate for their success, it's going to be you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I need to link with that. And the fact that you might be able to sell cookies is like 15th on the list,
right.
really. So that's why the accountability issue is also one that can breathe fresh air into
mm-hmm.
how schools relate to parents.
Because
mm-hmm. there is a tradition, obviously, in elementary schools of parents getting involved to some degree.
Right.
One of the things that this accountability issue then puts in the forefront is, let's look at what is the next school system indicator,
uh-huh.
how are students engaged?
Exactly.
And it's a broad term, but it goes beyond just asking, how did they do in the test? What's their math grades? How are they doing in reading? I mean, that's important information, but are they engaged?
And can they ask questions?
Yes.
They feel like they can ask questions. Are they bored because they're just sitting there and can't talk? Or are they doing group projects with each other?
Are they interested?
That's right.
You know when that little switch goes off in
mm-hmm.
your kids, and once that goes off, it really is hard to turn it back on when
yeah.
they get turned out to school.
Yeah.
In fact, we had a project a couple of years ago where the parents started by looking at the overall accountability. They saw that their math scores were low. And then they started asking the questions to the students. If you don't understand something, how often are you allowed to ask a question?
Right,
always
right.
to never.
And we have a podcast that talks about that
yes.
project. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think that we could talk about other aspects of the Quality
mm-hmm.
Schools Action Framework.
Mm-hmm.
I want to come back to our theme in terms of accountability and the attrition rate. It's one important piece of data, but not an individual child's data. It's
yes.
a collective data.
Yes, absolutely.
And it fits within the range of data that parents have
mm-hmm.
and understand how to make sense of it
mm-hmm.
in the context of how your children are doing,
right.
but how is the whole campus
the whole,
doing?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's a very important part of accountability.
Well, thank you very much. And our listeners can look at our website later in October and get our latest attrition study. We do it every year. So if you listen to this next year, it'll be up again. We've been using the same methodology for more than two decades. So it is comparable. And then other states have similar studies, or there are some national studies that use the same methodology. So if you're not in Texas, there is a source for you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.